Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Bill O'Brien going to speak with the media types live from NRG 15 minutes from now. Keep it locked. We're a week away from Texans.
Just like to get together with you and maybe Chiefs. Have a beer. And
I'm good on that.
Dang right, man. Dang
good on
right.
That. Leonard Fournette, he was a member of the AFC South for 3 years. Now he is a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady. And apparently LeSean McCoy is going to be a part of things as well. LeSean McCoy will stay there, as will Ronald Jones. Going to have that old running back committee in Tampa Bay.
That's what we're talking about. That's what Clint was talking about. And I just to be fair, I did not co-sign his opinion. You were kind of influenced by it, or at least you thought it was a decent idea. I just thought there was too much baggage right now that doesn't fit what Bill O'Brien and the Texans want. But in terms of X's and O's, if you can make it work, it's good to have Leonard Fournette as your number three.
Look, if you can line up behind Tom Brady and half-ass or do whatever caused you to get released from Jacksonville, you might as well just retire. Might as well go be a grad assistant at LSU. If Tom Brady playing into his 40s at Tampa Bay with a new team, with the passion that Tom Brady plays with, if you don't go put on the Tampa Bay Bucs uniform and sit behind that and give it everything that you've got and everything that you haven't given in the past, just retire. You don't need to be playing football.
If Tom Brady can't make you want to be better, then nobody can.
Yeah, just hang him up, Leonard. So we'll see what happens. He gets a one-year deal with a max value of $3.5 million. Another former Patriots kicker, Steven Goskowski. He is going to be the kicker for...
Who?
The Tennessee Titans. He will be a Tennessee Titan. Got injured with the Patriots. He's now going to New England. He's going to be there with Mike Vrabel. Kicking woes can hurt a season, to say the very least. It can cost you a few games. Colts had that problem last year with Adam Vinatieri. Goskowski goes to Tennessee. We'll see what happens there. Patriots.
He's a Nashville guy. He lives there. So, yeah, that's good for him.
Patriots release veteran Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu, who they traded a second-round pick for last year, released by the Patriots. I thought this was surprising. Sanu was the first guy that worked out with Cam Newton. Good guy. I mean, he's a good dude. This seems 100% football motivated. Mohamed Sanu, second rounder, and then cut by the Patriots.
If it was anyone but Bill Belichick, he'd be getting destroyed today. He gave up, you said it, he gave up a second round pick.
That's what the Texans gave up for Cooks.
A second round pick for a dude you got 8 games out of. That's it. That's inexcusable. If the Texans get 8 games out of Brandon Cooks and after giving up a second round pick, we will destroy him. And appropriately so, but Belichick has that, he's got that swag, man. He's got those pelts on the wall.
But honestly, with what's happening with the Patriots, and hell, Bill Belichick could just completely fool everybody with all the guys that have opted out and all the guys that are getting released and the thin roster, and they go 9-7, 10-6, and just play that scrappy version of football that we've seen them play for such a long time. But I would rather suck after being a dynasty for a year, especially with this layout in the NFL, than I would just tread water and hang around 9-7, hang around 8-8. I would rather suck, get a quarterback that I can build the team around, and then take it from there. I don't know what the case is going to be, but I don't know too many coaches that could get too much out of the roster that Bill Belichick's working with right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Also, who's to say that's not what he's doing? You know?
Do you think he could endure that? Could Bill Belichick endure sucking?
Who else? Who couldn't? Who could less? He can endure it more.
No, I'm not saying he's not going to get fired. I'm just saying mentally.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, he was in Cleveland, so no offense, Figgy, but he has a little bit of experience with a hard time. No, and especially if he kind of, you know, sells it to the Kraft family, like, all right, we're going to try to win every game, wink, wink. We really are, wink, wink. But if we don't, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to have. We're going to be right back on our feet. I could see him doing that.
All right, going around the league here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, Rob Gronkowski. He played for Bill Belichick. He's now playing with the previously mentioned Tampa Bay Buccaneers. James Palmer used to work around here on NFL Network, talking about Rob Gronkowski and why he feels better than ever heading into 2020.
Let's start with the physical side of things. You know, Bruce Arians during training camp, I've been here every single day, told me Gronkowski's moving around like maybe 5-6 years ago. The stiffness in the back is gone. You don't see the giant elbow brace on him anymore. And I'm not sure if Gronk got paid to do this, but yesterday raved to us that the TB12 method is the reason why he is in the NFL right now at 31 years old. He has bought into the lifestyle, he said, for the last 2 years, and it is the reason he would recommend it to anyone.
I know. Our guy may not know, but I know. I'm sure he's on it, and I'm sure he's benefited from it, but it's probably not the only thing and the only reason that he's come back and feeling good. Much like J.J. Watt here, you know, the reviews of his physique, of him physically, are off the charts in Tampa right now. But, yeah, he's taking care of his buddy here. I mean, he's on the website. I mean, Rob Gronkowski is on TB12's website. So, yeah, I'm sure that's part of it.
TB12 just seems like a miserable existence to me.
Seth
got me the book, and I read it. I could not eat that diet. A lot of times when I run, I'm running because I want to go eat Mexican food afterwards.
Yeah, like you justify your beer drinking.
Yeah, like that's my whole goal is I want to, all right, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A and I'm going to get the large fries and then I'm going to run later on in the night. That's my whole existence. Your cheat meal on the TB12 is like avocado ice cream. Who the hell wants avocado ice cream?
Appreciating avocados here. You mean you don't want the TB12 single serve electrolyte powder for dinner?
I want avocado on my nachos. I want avocado on my tacos. I don't want avocado on my freaking ice cream. What kind of junk is that? These hipsters are ruining the world right now, John. What the hell is wrong with y'all? It's Whole Foods Essential Market with avocado ice cream. Who the hell wants that?
Hipsters, baby.
Just absolutely ridiculous. Zeke Elliott has a promise when it comes to being responsible this year. Of course, Zeke got the COVID in the offseason, but that ain't happening again, and it ain't happening to the Dallas Cowboys.
It's pretty apparent that you don't want to miss games because you got COVID. So, I mean, we all are here to play football. We're not going to do anything dumb to jeopardize that. And so, just staying safe. And it's really not about you. It's more of an accountability thing. It's keeping each other accountable. And it's not about you. It's about the guys around you in this locker room and their families.
At least he didn't say, if I die, I die, like Kirk Cousins.
Why do people have such an issue with that, by the way? Did y'all talk about that yesterday? Why are people worried about that?
Because it's stupid.
He did say he was wearing a mask. If he's not scared, why are people upset that he's not scared?
Because he has family. He has children. He has grandparents. He has people around him that are older in the organization. You know, and to be that cavalier about it, is just irresponsible. I mean, Wade agreed with me. I mean, it's fine.
It's not irresponsible, you know, if you're acting responsibly to avoid it. You know, if he said, screw everybody, I'm not wearing a mask, that would be one thing. But if he's wearing a mask and he's being cautious and then he says, if I die, I die, I mean, I think he's just saying, I'm being responsible, but that's my mindset. I don't see why people got so upset that's his mindset.
Well, I'm not upset. I just think it's dumb. I mean, he can do whatever. Anyone can do whatever they want. What I'm saying is, foremost, your own family if they die, they die? Is that what you're saying also? Because the mask, as we all know, limits, you know, transmission. It doesn't eliminate transmission. And, you know, to kind of go down that road like, you know, no big deal. It's just irresponsible. It really is.
Interesting. That was Wade's take, too?
He agreed with me, yeah.
713-572-4610. Are you mad at Kirk Cousins? Or do you think Kirk Cousins is irresponsible?
You're really doing this?
713-572-4610.
Now, I'm not even going to open the text board for about 10 minutes. Because I know what's coming.
Hey.
Good gracious. Hey.
You brought it up.
You did this.
You brought it up.
Yeah, that's coming, Figgy.
He's got his mask on. Kirk Cousins ain't scared.
Good Lord. Why do you do this? Why are you doing this?
Much to the dismay of the OG and Wade Smith, Kirk
Cousins. It's 109. Scared. I'm not even opening the text board till 119 because go ahead. Get it off your chest. Get it off your chest. Say it. We're not going to say it on the air. We're not going to read your text, but say it. Go ahead.
Say what?
You read the text board. I'm not.
Oh, let's see.
No, don't read it out loud.
8544 Lopez, you
no.
snowflake. 8975 Landry, Lopez and Wade are right. Can't read that one.
That's what I'm saying.
Damn sure can't read that one. Probably get fired if I read that one.
Yeah.
the easy low-hanging fruits by 8-8. Kirk Cousins is more scared of Monday Night Football than COVID. Talking about...
And by the way, he's lying. If I die, I die. He's absolutely lying. We probably buried the lead here. Mr. Tough Guy, I'm in the locker room. No big deal. If I die, I die. Get out of here. That's a flat-out lie.
6379... Go ahead.
You can believe whatever you want, and you can take whatever side you want, but if you're standing there, if I die, I die, you're lying to me to my face.
6379, if he's not scared, then why wear the mask? Because it's kind of
rules. He said it was out of respect for others.
Yeah, it's kind of the rules. I mean, it's what it is. He's a grown-ass man, too many pansies these days. I'm telling you, man, I started this. this is my fault. What the hell's up with Alvin Kamara? I couldn't keep up with that story. 1 minute, they're trying to trade him, according to Josina Anderson. Next minute, they weren't trying to trade him. They were just trying to prove a point to him that his value wasn't that high. Then all of a sudden, his back's hurt. Then all of a sudden, his back's not hurt. Then all of a sudden, he's not going to practice. Then all of a sudden, he's at practice. Then all of a sudden, they're close to a negotiation. Then all of a sudden, he's ready to go. Then all of a sudden, everything's cool. I can't keep up with this Alvin Kamara thing.
There's just everybody's trying to make themselves look better.
Alvin!
About a story as old as time, man. Everything's out there. Let me see what I can say and plant to make myself look better.
I'm never giving a running back a second contract these days. If I'm a GM, I am not giving a running back a second contract. None of them.
Nah, I wouldn't say none.
In and out. Let's go. 3 years, 3 years.
I'm looking, you know me, I'm looking at touches. I'm all about the touches with the running back.
Well, the other thing to me, though, is J-Lo, and on the other side of things, if I'm a running back and I'm a badass, I'm holding out after year three. I ain't going on the field, period.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And you're not making me pay my fines either. You're wiping those away.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But to me, it's 300, 350 touches, 2 or 3 years in a row. I'm staying away from you, okay? He doesn't have that many. I mean, he's got a pretty good number. Do you realize in the last 3 years he's had exactly 81 catches each season? 81 catches every year from 2017 to 2019. That's bizarre.
He's
That's
awesome.
A little. And about 170 carries. So he's been at about 270 to 290 every year touches.
Awesome.
So he's on the borderline.
He's awesome.
He's on the borderline.
He's awesome. I love Alvin Kamara. I think he's very, very, very solid. I think he's the most important piece on that Saints team. I'm including Michael Thomas. I think Alvin Kamara is absolutely fantastic. Wade Smith on my phone. Chill, listen to the tape. So maybe you misrepresented what he had to say, J-Lo.
Well, no, but he agreed with the point that he shouldn't have said it.
No, he's typing right now.
Go ahead, Wade. Hit me. Hit me, Wade.
He's typing. He must be mad because he's still going. He's going. I can't read
Wade
that
also
either.
Said.
Can't read that one either.
Wade also said that Alvin Kamara was exactly like Christian McCaffrey, which
what's that
is 99% true.
What's that?
He said Alvin Kamara is exactly like Christian McCaffrey, which I said is 99% true.
What's the 1%?
Figgy. Race car!
He also doesn't get as many chances as McCaffrey. That's the other thing. I think if Alvin Kamara were in Carolina, I think they would rely on him so much that we might be talking about him. If McCaffrey were in New Orleans, I mean, there's other – you got Michael Thomas. You got some other –
Is McCaffrey going first in every fantasy draft?
No, he's not. And this is why.
Really?
I wouldn't have taken him first, and the only reason is this. It's not because – I mean, you could end up being right when it comes to McCaffrey, but – The thing that I look at with McCaffrey is last year he was on his rookie deal, right? So you just run guys into the ground on their rookie deal. But when you have a commitment to McCaffrey for like 3 years or 4 years or whatever it is, whenever you get around the goal line, and let's just say the hits that the running backs would normally take where you would hand it to him on the one, I feel like in the back of your mind you might think, all right, let's put in the backup guy. He can go in there and grunt this into the goal line. I think you might manage him a little bit more.
Okay.
Saquon will be my guy. Saquon will be my guy this year.
He went third, I think, in our draft.
Yeah, it would be Saquon, although
McCaffrey was first in every draft that I've seen.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with Christian McCaffrey. By the way, I think he's the first white running back ever selected number one overall in a fantasy draft. I feel
no,
safe
what's his name from Cleveland?
He was not selected number one overall. Peyton Hillis. He was good, and he got on Madden, but he was not selected number one overall. History's being made. Christian McCaffrey, first white running back selected.
Ain't on Madden, though.
He ain't on Madden, and he's probably happy about that because what happened to Peyton Hillis and most after that. Let's go hear from Bill O'Brien live at the podium. We're a week away from Texans versus Chiefs. He just had his final scrimmage of the offseason. He's also got 48 hours to trim the roster down to 53. We'll hear from King Bill live at NRG next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, 1 week, Texans versus Chiefs. Bill O'Brien, he's got 48 hours-ish, maybe even less, to trim the roster down to 53. Got a little scrimmage in yesterday. Let's go live to NRG right now. B.O.B. messing with the Zoom.
With Max Sharping, this is second year, and we've talked a little bit about Titus Howard and the jump you hope for from him. What do you see from Max in his second season? And I have a follow-up. Thank you.
Yeah, Max has definitely improved. I think anytime you play as much as Max played last year, he played more than Titus, right? Because Titus had to deal with the injury. I believe that experience is can't replace it. You know, you learn the speed of the game, the strength of the game, and the things that you need to get better at technique-wise. Max is so coachable. He's a very, very focused guy that cares a lot about doing what's best for the team. And, you know, he's getting better and he's put on weight. He's gotten stronger in the off season and he's had a good camp. So we feel good about where we're at that spot and he can do other things. He can jump in and play tackle if we need him to. He's played a little center for us. So he's a multiple tool guy up front, which is good.
Hey, Bill, how are you and your staff measuring your preparedness to play such a great opponent in the opener and obviously unusual time? So I think the phrase you used with us last night was, you know, still a long way to go. How are you kind of measuring that with no preseason, no contact that's full contact, et cetera?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, we have to, relative to what I said last night, you know, we have a long way to go relative to the game week. We've got to get the roster down. We've got to have a good, you know, quote unquote, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then travel to Kansas City on September 9th with a good game plan, with a good week of practice, making sure guys understand what we're expecting of them in the game. And we know we're playing a great opponent and we feel like we're pretty good. So, you know, we know that it's going to take a team effort. We know that we're going on a road into an environment that's going to be different, you know, only about 15,000, 17,000 fans there. And, it's just going to be a different experience. But I think our guys are mature enough to handle that, and they're looking forward to the opportunity.
Hey, Bill, how's Kiki look since he came back from injury?
You were breaking up there. Who?
So how has Kiki looked?
Kiki, sorry. Yeah, Kiki looked good last night. I mean, he was cutting off of his foot and doing some good things. And, you know, he returned kicks. He played in the slot. He played on the outside. He ran reverses. He did a lot of different things. So, you know, he looked pretty good.
Bill, I know you have a team of hard workers, but is there a time that Deshaun's work ethic has stood out to you?
I mean, every day. I mean, he works hard every day at whether it's mechanics, footwork, you know, obviously, you know, coverage reads, protection reads, communication. He stays after practice. He's watching a lot of film with Tim and TJ. Works hard in the weight room. I know I heard the other day he had a really good weight workout. You know, he was squatting and doing power cleans and things like that. I mean, the guy works hard every day. And, you know, like I've always said, I'm glad he's on our side.
Hey, Bill, as you prepare for the Chiefs, you'll play someone that you're very familiar with, Tyrann Mathieu, who's here with you guys. What's it like competing against him? And what did you see from him just in the couple of games that you had against him last year? Thank you.
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, we only had him for a year here, but he made an impact on this organization from a leadership standpoint, from a playing standpoint. Very smart player. One of the smartest players that we've had here. Just really understood, you know, what the offense was trying to do relative to the defensive call, and had really good leadership qualities. I remember when they were able to get him in free agency, I remember Coach Reed and I talking, and, you know, he's brought the same thing there, obviously, to Kansas City. So it's tough. It's tough. But those are the things that that happens in the NFL. And, you know, we're going to have to do a good job. They line him up in a lot of different spots. They use him in a lot of different ways. And
do you feel this team has a number one receiver? And if not, what's the advantages of having multiple weapons out on the field at the same time?
Huh?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, we don't label it like that in our organization. You know, we really never have. We have guys that can do a lot of different things. You know, we have guys that can play on the outside, they can play on the inside. We've got running backs, tight ends that can do different things. I think the key will be health, just like any position. The health of the receiver position will be very important. You know, the timing we're working on, we're getting better. I thought we did some good things last night in the scrimmage, but yeah, no, we use different personnel groupings. We use different ways and, you know, different groups to help us try to matriculate the ball down the field. And so that's what we'll continue to do.
Bill, how much of an advantage is it to play on a Thursday when you don't have to play on a Sunday before? And also, how do you prepare for a rookie like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who didn't have any preseason tape but was great at LSU?
Yeah, no, it's I think the Thursday night opener, you know, yeah, it has its advantages. Obviously, it's the only game, and guys are really, you know, excited to play in the game, and it's going to be a historic game. I mean, you think about, you know, this game being played during a pandemic, with everything that this league has gone through to get to this point, you know, it's a privilege and an honor to play in this game. I think from a roster standpoint, having it at the beginning of the year is tough, you know, because, you know, but it's the same for Kansas City. You know, we got to wait for certain, you know, players to clear to be able to have a full complement of practice squad and 53-man roster guys. So, but we'll work through it. We'll get ready. But and then the second part, John, what was the second question?
About preparing for Clyde Edwards-Helaire when you didn't get to see him.
Yeah, we studied him a lot. We interviewed him at the combine. He's a really good guy, really dynamic player. Obviously, did a great job at LSU with Joe Burrow last year. I mean, they set records. I mean, their offensive output at LSU last year was in another stratosphere. So, you know, look, he's a guy that can run it. He can hurt you out of the backfield. He's a part of an offensive system now in Kansas City that's a very dynamic one. And we're just going to have to do as good a job as we can of knowing where he's at, how they're trying to use him early on, and do as good a job as we can. Okay, thanks, guys.
It's Texans head coach Bill O'Brien live at NRG, 1 week away from Texans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Astros already off to a good start. Started off with three straight hits. That's not a bad way to start a game. We'll give you an update on that. We'll also tell you why the biggest numbers in town are 1, 7, and 48 next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Come here, baby. Just keep matriculating the ball down the field, boys.
Yes, sir, lads.
Yes, sir, boys. Yes, sir, boys.
Yes, sir, boys. Yes, sir, boys. Astros.
Matriculating down the field.
It's a good word. It's a very good
Bill
word.
Bill O'Brien used that word in his press conference.
Well, maybe he's copying guys out other than Belichick these days.
Yeah, he's just got a good vocabulary. Hank
Stram. Baby, just keep matriculating the ball down the field, boys.
He's no longer with us, right?
He is no longer with us.
Okay, rest in peace. Pour one out for him. But his spirit obviously lives on out there at NRG, courtesy of Bill O'Brien. So here's how the Astros have started off the game. They're facing Lance Lynn and the Rangers. Lynn, 4-1 on the season, ERA below 2, was not shipped at the deadline. George Springer at the plate, single. Jose Altuve at the plate, single. Michael Brantley at the plate, single. One run scored for the Astros. However, it looked like an opportunity was going to be missed because the Astros got two outs after that. And Aledmys Diaz, fresh off his return from the injured list, comes to the plate. 1-0 Astros, runner on first and third, two outs. Four bags, Mr. Bellhop, 4-0 Houston Astros on top. Zach Greinke has a 4-run lead already, and the silver boot is going to be in control of the Astros after today unless they blow this game.
I mean, not only three hits in the first three at-bats, three pitches. I mean, Lance Lynn. And by the way, Lance Lynn was a rumor before the trade deadline for a lot of teams.
I don't know why they didn't trade him. What are they doing with him exactly? What exactly are the Rangers trying to do right now?
He was a hot rumor.
He had to have been pissed. Kidding me?
Oh,
I got to come out here now. I got to go pitch now against the Astros.
For these guys?
In a second. Are you kidding me? Look at these epic guys. Basically what he's got saying. I was going to say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but if the Astros had lost the silver boot this year, Dusty Baker should be fired. shouldn't even be allowed to coach in the playoffs if you lose the series to the Rangers this year.
Why do you always ask me a negative question?
Man, I'm just saying hypothetically, Dusty. I don't think it's going to happen. 4-0 right now.
Cool.
Astros, yeah, it is cool. Facebook Live is where we'll be doing the post-game show because obviously Clinton's show are going to be on the air. 1-7-48. Those are the big three numbers around town. Can you tell me why 1-7-48?
1-7-48. Those are the numbers.
Why are they a big deal?
The Rockets are playing the one seed?
The Rockets are playing in one day. I'll give you that. I'll give them that one.
They won game 7?
No.
That's not the 7?
No, the 7's obvious, bro. Have you not listened to our promos? Houston Texans, 7 days. Like,
oh, okay.
7 days away from Texans Chiefs.
And 48, I'm guessing, is because of the roster's getting cut down.
There you go. See? We're on top of things. That 1-7-48. Let's go through our confidence in each one. Your confidence in the Rockets versus King James and the Lakers. How do you feel about that?
I don't know, man.
that I couldn't put it better myself. Thank you. Thank you, Dusty. I don't know, man.
That was Russell Westbrook, man.
Oh, I thought that was Dusty.
I don't know, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I hear it. Now I hear it. Sounded a little bit like Dusty, didn't it?
No.
No?
Not even a little bit.
I think Lakers in 6.
I think this series is going. Gosh, man, they don't play it. Man.
Numero 4.
You think it's going to be a sweep, Fig?
Figgy with the subtle sweep.
You think it's going to be a sweep?
You hit the wrong button, Figgy?
They playing LeBron, man, so that's what I'm scared of.
I'm scared of Anthony Davis. Who's checking him?
Who's he checking?
I'll say it goes 6. I mean, you can sit there and watch P.J. Tucker shoot in the corner, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
I mean, he's fine. It's not like he's a stiff.
Rockets are really good at manipulating the switches, though. So is he just going to stay with Tucker the whole time? It's really interesting.
It'll be a good series. I think mm-hmm. that the Rockets are going to bring it, obviously, because you got two guys from two L.A. guys that are going to get to face the Lakers. That's always a big deal. 7 days away, Texans versus Kansas City Chiefs. How confident are you in that?
I don't know, man.
Jeez, you're just spitting that wisdom today.
I like the sound drops there. I can't see the Texans winning this game. I think it's possible, but the probability is the Chiefs, all those weapons, man, at home. They actually will have some fans in the stands, which is
awesome.
Not the norm. Yeah, awesome. Which is not the norm. But I think it'll look kind of sad. I've mentioned that to you in the past. You know, with just 14,000, 16, whatever it is, 1,000 people in that big stadium, I think it'll look kind of weird and sad. But on the field, I think the Chiefs are – I mean, look, they proved they're just better. You know, what team has gotten appreciably better since the Chiefs outscored the Texans? Was it 51-3, 54-3, something like that?
I lost count.
Yeah. You know, which team has done the most to get better since that day?
To me, you look at the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs offense is either going to be the exact same or better than it was last year. They got the same guys. They've added Clyde Edwards-Helaire, unless you're going to tell me that Damian Williams is like the biggest deal possible. So I feel like the Chiefs offense is going to be as elite as it's been. I don't know what this Texans offense is going to look like. I don't know what the mindset's going to be. I don't know where guys are going to line up. I don't know how Deshaun Watson is going to look with these guys. I'm not pessimistic about it. I just think that we literally have no idea. You got three new guys starting in regards to skill positions. So I don't know is the right answer when it comes to the offense for the,
all right,
for the
see,
Texans.
You were giving me a hard time.
For the Texans. But from the Chiefs' perspective, this might just be a buzzsaw. They might just come out there completely just wired up, geeked up, ready to go.
Even with DeAndre Hopkins not on this offense, I'm actually more concerned about the defense. Just because of the Chiefs, but also because you talk about someone that didn't really get appreciably better on the defensive side. I mean, maybe Anthony Weaver's a wizard, you know, and he'll figure some crazy stuff out. I fully expect them to do some different things, but that's still Patrick Mahomes on the other side of that ball, man.
Got a little Tyreek Hill action. Got a little
Clyde Edwards.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who you have no idea about. I'm convinced. I feel like the clues have been in front of us for a long time. I think A.J. Moore might start.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just we've just been hearing his name way too much, especially when it's unsolicited. You know, Weaver just happens to mention him as he's talking about the secondary. Bill O'Brien just happens to mention him about guys that have looked good. That's not happening with Eric Murray. It's happening with A.J. Moore.
A.J. Moore's been one of the top five most mentioned guys at camp when it comes to questions. So either there's something to that, or media types around here are really weird. Because Deshaun Watson was asked about A.J. Moore yesterday by Aaron Wilson, straight off the practice field. And he brought up A.J. Moore. We've wondered about Eric Murray. I'm driving, and I hear Mark Vandermeer and John Harris talking about Eric Murray. They don't even know if he's going to start. So I start thinking, okay, if he's not starting, who is? And I go, ah-ha-ha.
Aha.
A.J. freaking Moore, who's played 20 defensive snaps in his entire career, getting significant snaps for the Texans against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Which also
it makes sense.
Which also had me say, aha, J-Lo. Because A.J. Moore didn't even step on the field on defense last year when the Texans faced the Chiefs. Instead, they put Lonnie Johnson on an island with two safeties hurt. Now, all of a sudden, he's ready to go?
Well, I will tell you this. A.J. Moore has certainly had more, no pun intended, you know, more opportunities this thing. What's wrong?
He's got the dog in the background, man.
I know you stopped talking. What's going on?
Is that Minshew?
I know you stopped talking. What's up?
Nothing. I was asking you. What's wrong? What are you doing?
I know, you just stopped talking.
Well, you were asking me about AJ Moore, and I gave you an answer.
Oh, that's it? Okay, there we go. Yeah. All right, John Lopez holding it down. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Daryl Morey, did he get off the hook yesterday? Is Daryl Morey off the hook?
I don't know if he was ever on the hook. He probably should have been, but I don't know if he ever really was. I mean, Tillman Fertitta, maybe behind closed doors, has done some things that, you know, has made it clear to Daryl Morey that, you know, things have got to change, that he's not really comfortable, that he's cost him a lot of money, that he's, you know, that he's not sure about things. But publicly, and certainly with the media and what's going on there, I don't think Daryl Morey's ever really been on the hook. He should have been. He absolutely should have been. But one game is not going to change that for him. One game changed a lot for James Harden, but it's not going to change a lot for Daryl Morey. I think they've got to go a lot further.
I think yesterday was a prime example of a game where you had more to lose than you did to gain. I think if you beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, you should have done it. If you lose to them, especially led by Chris Paul, who you let get away, I don't think Daryl Morey gets fired because I don't think Tillman Fertitta wants to pay somebody to not work. But I definitely think that Daryl Morey would hate his life a lot more than he does right now had they lost that game to Chris Paul, the guy who we were talking about having one of the worst contracts in town and going to a team that didn't have a chance. I think their percentage yesterday, they said on the broadcast, was less than 2% to get into the postseason. They get in. Not only do they get in, they push the Rockets to 7 in the bubble. LeBron coming to town tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Harden's moments. Much to do about nothing, or did he give you what you'd been asking for all week?
No, that was a moment. I mean, that's one that's going to be in the highlight reel for when he goes into the Hall of Fame. I mean, that was absolutely a moment. It's not what we expected. It's not how we thought it might go. But that was absolutely a huge moment for James Harden. If he doesn't make that play, what are we saying today? Like, literally, what are we saying in your view about James Harden? If he doesn't make that play, or if Lou Dort decides not to take the shot and passes it to the wide open Stephen Adams underneath, who dunks uncontested because he would have, what are we saying about James Harden today?
Saying he choked.
Absolutely.
Period. That's all we're saying.
And more so than we ever have.
Yeah, I mean, he was terrible.
Yeah.
He was lost. I didn't even know if he was going to come back in the game. Adam Spillane mentioned it. I knew he was going to come back in the game, but he handled his business. He got it done. That was a wild ending. I don't know what was going on. Sometimes I think stupidity in basketball is contagious, where if one person plays out of control and does something dumb, everybody else just all of a sudden does it. I don't know. It's almost like a wave of, like, foolishness goes sometimes when you're watching basketball, where like there was a sequence yesterday where Eric Gordon got a turnover at half court then Oklahoma City rushed and they got a turnover, and it was just like sometimes it's like a shockwave of carelessness that goes on, especially with Eric Gordon. What's up with him? Like, it's almost like that dude goes from like halfway through dribbling the ball, it's like someone puts flip-flops on his feet instead of basketball shoes. Like, I don't understand how Eric Gordon can look so great, and then 20 seconds later, he can just do something that would get a sixth grade C teamer running laps all of practice.
At his best, he's the third best player on the team, and legitimately so. You can talk about cover, you can talk about anybody you want, but he's the third best. Statistically, also the third best. At his worst, he's lost, and right now he's lost. He's been he's just been struggling. And by the way, I think this kind of ties back to Tillman Fertitta, to kind of connect those two things. You know, I think Tillman, you'll never change the way he's wired. You'll never change the way he's conditioned, you know? And he's conditioned in the restaurant industry. Interchangeable parts, even at the highest levels of management in his company, he just moves on. So I think he's kind of asking Daryl Morey, or will ask if he hasn't already, why'd you give this guy this contract? Why'd you give Eric Gordon this contract? Because he's not living up to it right now.
They don't really – their hands are kind of tied. A lot of times in the NBA, you just have to pay the guys you already have, because it's hard to bring guys in. So they're just tied to Eric Gordon. And I don't, that's a bad thing. Eric Gordon's a guy that's going to win you one game in a series, and you're going to dog cuss him three after that. Sean Pendergast has a complete hate affair with Eric Gordon right now.
Well, he's making $14 million, man, and not delivering. Now, maybe he'll flip the switch. We'll see. But he's been in a bad way lately.
Chris Paul, got to salute him. You got to give him his props. People thought he was done, including us. Not only did he go out there and do his thing, that was almost like a lost win for Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. You talk about playing with house money. He went down gloriously. Chris Paul went down like the superhero at the end of the movie that dies. They play that dramatic music. He maybe gets a final kiss with his girl, and then he dies and everyone cries and he's still a hero. That's how Chris Paul went down yesterday. And by the way, how does he see everything that refs don't? Like, Chris Paul, a lot of times it looks like he's complaining at the refs, but with how well you can hear things now without crowd noise, he sees stuff that they don't.
Yeah.
When he got that review where he said that they called a foul before. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He said they called a foul before the timeout, and they weren't going to review it. And Chris Paul's like, you have to review it. And the refs are kind of pushing back because they don't want to be told what to do. So they have that fake huddle where I wish we could have like a mic on them and know what they were saying. But basically they said, yeah, he's right. We just got to not let him have that.
Let's act like we decided it.
So then they come out and they say, we got to review it. They review it. Chris Paul was right. He's all over it. It's kind of like when like someone has a good idea, but like someone like in authority or something like that, or like a referee or a boss or something like that, doesn't want to give them credit for the idea. So they act like they're going to think about it, and then they come back and they present it as if it was their own. Like Scott Foster walks over there, we got to review this. And it's like Chris Paul said that a long time ago. Now you're coming over there acting like that wasn't the original idea.
That happened on this show. That happened on this show.
What'd I do?
No, it wasn't you. It was before you. It's the name of this show. What's the name of this show?
In the Loop.
Someone in this room came up with that name. Someone else took credit for it.
Nick Wright?
No. Nick loved it.
Gavin Spittle?
No. But you're warm.
Ryan McCrudden.
Well, I can't neither confirm nor deny.
What'd he do? Present it like a PowerPoint?
Like it was his. I didn't say anything.
You just let him have me. That?
I let him have it. I was like, you know what a really good name of the show would be when Nick got here? How about In the Loop? You know, it ties in 610, the 610 Loop.
Don't tell me he presented it like it was like philosophical, like, you know, we're in the loop. Let's just call it In the Loop. He didn't do
well,
that.
Well, I'm not going to say any more other than everything I just told you, I said, and then was repeated.
Hey guys, I got this great idea for
True story.
Man, that would frustrate me.
So that's what you're saying is what they were doing.
Basically what Scott Foster did. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Very much so. Gosh. Chris Paul.
Let's call this replay review In the Loop.
Rest in peace, Chris Paul. No longer with us.
Yeah. Well, he is.
He is gone. Daryl Morey survives. The Texans keep on trucking on. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have a little Justin Reed uplifting. Everybody needs to be uplifted today as well. Business is picking up. Astros on top of the Rangers right now. 4-0. And we're going to preview
4-1.
The one? Dang you, Zach Greinke. The
there you go.
The King will face the Rockets tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. For the OG, John Lopez. For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I am Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Clint and Ron are next. Let's just be glad we had this time to spend together.
Thank you, Figgy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.